What's up? It's me. It's Atomic Radio Hour. I'm your host, Vince. Episode 368. Still having technical difficulties. Should have had this episode out to you last week, but for some reason, OBS just didn't want to cooperate. Shout out to the Patreon, link in the description below. I love you. Thanks for checking out the program. I'm just going to start this off with something I've been really into right now, and I really want to shine a light on it behind me. Hopefully is my footage, my recording of Mouse PI Detective for Hire. I've been really enjoying this game. I have played maybe an hour and a half of it. I haven't had a chance to play a whole hell of a lot, but I love this game. It's funny. It reminds me of Toon Heads, which was a show on Cartoon Network when I was really, really little, where they would explain animation and explain Fleischer era and rubber hose stuff and explain why it was important and how it pioneered things. And it's like the first time I ever heard names like Ub Iwerks and stuff. I love this game behind me. I've only played a little bit of it. It makes me want to collect everything. It makes me want to collect all the newspapers. It makes me want to collect all the comic book strips. It makes me want to collect all the baseball cards. Everything about this game is fun. It's a boomer shooter. It's an old school boomer shooter. It's strafe, shoot, dodge, heal. You pick up heals and it's like, it's whiskey and you can get armor and there's little things that are modern, like hit the one button on the directional pad and it throws a stick of dynamite, but also you can just equip it. It's that rubber hose aesthetic. So everything kind of like bounces, like you're holding a gun like this. You're just like, it floats. And then when you go to cock it back to reload it, the barrel squeezes back. I like this game. And this is one of those where if the studio had money, real money behind it, I think it might have. I remember hearing this was an Xbox exclusive. I don't know if that's true. I don't think it is because I bought it on PlayStation. But it's a game that I'd love to see real money behind. I'd love to see maybe. I mean, I'm an hour and a half in, so I don't know what the story is going to evolve into. But it's a great noir. It's so far, like the atmosphere of it, it's tongue in cheek. It's a beautiful game in black and white. Hey, remember the technical difficulties that I brought up moments ago? Guess what? They never left. They're still here. So we're back. I want to shout out Willie DeWitt real quick, who showed up while the technical difficulties were happening. If it wasn't for him, probably wouldn't have known that they were going on. If you like the show, check out the Patreon. Link again. You can watch these episodes live. But as I was saying, Mouse PI, this game is fun. I really like this game. I like that it's a boomer shooter. It feels like a video game. And it really feels like the type of thing that I've been missing. Because so many games just feel like Sims. Like if you play God of War, it's like, oh, I'm playing the single dad simulator. Or if you play something like The Last of Us, it's like, oh, I'm playing the single dad simulator. And if you play something like Death Stranding, you're playing the single dad simulator. And I'm just tired of Sims and I want to play a video game. And I think that's why I've been playing a lot of indies lately, even though I'm not a big indie guy. This Mouse PI game, for the hour and a half I've played of it, I can't speak highly enough of it. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. It's got a lot of character. The voice acting is pretty decent. I forget the guy who's doing the voice acting, but he's pretty much main character McGee. He's one of those kind of guys. It's a great time, and I really, really enjoy it. I want to get into this week's lore after I gush about that thing that I loved. We're going to gush about more things that I love at the end of the show, but I want to do the lore. Before I do the lore, I have to shout out the Patreon. If you like the show, there's a link in the description below. Check it out from the $1 tier to the $10 tier. There's some rewards or some perks. At the $10 tier, you can watch these episodes get recorded live. I want to shout out the Patreon supporters at the top. I want to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Willie DeWitt, who is here in chat right now with us. Thank you to the Patreon. I love you. Thank you for your support. Now, let's get into this week's lore. This week, when I did the lore poll on the Patreon, I kind of set it up for failure. I put either a single Meyer Lurk or Bobby No-Nos, because I just want to talk about Fallout 4. I want to get more footage of Fallout 4. I feel like Fallout 4 is one of the more neglected mainline Fallout games that I've ever covered, and I'd really, besides 76, I'd really like to cover Fallout 4. So if you want to hear any sort of Fallout lore, be it from the show, be it from the games, the one comic book we have, any lore whatsoever, check out the Gooman Entertainment Patreon, because from the $1 tier to the $10 tier, every single week your voice is heard when it comes time to choose this week's lore. And by way of the Gooman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you this week's lore on Bobby No-Nos from Fallout 4. Now, Bobby No-Nos, or as I once called her,
Roberta Bobby Negative Nostrils McGee,
is a small-time crook in Good Neighbor in Boston in Fallout 4 in the year 2287. She calls herself a legitimate businesswoman. And her big thing is she wants to be the next up-and-coming gangster. She wants to be the next up-and-coming criminal person. She wants to make her money and her life off of crime, essentially. And her big thing is she wants to hit Hancock Strong Room in the NH&M Freight Depot. She doesn't like Hancock. It's very much a ghoul-on-ghoul crime that goes on in this time. I wonder if it's just a jealousy of just this ghoul is in charge. Why is this ghoul in charge? Why am I not the ghoul in charge? It's just a ghoul that hates another ghoul. Maybe it's supposed to be a commentary on it really be your own. You know, the people that you think are in your corner and are going to take care of you don't. This is also Fallout 4. She herself has planted a raider in the Massachusetts State House to get closer to the strong room, to get a man on the inside closer to Hancock, to find out where it is and how to infiltrate. She tells her crew and the sole survivor if he chooses to team up with her. She planted that raider in there to get closer to Hancock and see where his storeroom was. She lies and tells her crew and the sole survivor if they choose to team up with her that what she's doing is a real revenge plan against Mayor McDonough for Mayor McDonough kicking her out of Diamond City. And oh, dear watcher and viewer, I, your humble narrator, would like to let you know that Bobby No-Nos is a f***ing liar. Before the big dig, the quest that she gives out, the hit that she wants you to take out on Hancock's facility, his strong room, she tells you to go to Diamond City and get Mel out of prison. This is one of the few ways that Fallout 4 actually has choice in its quest. He's locked up. You could either pickpocket the security that's there. You can steal a key from the office. You could kill the guard. You could hack a protectron to kill the guard. You could bribe the guard. You could pick the there's so many different ways to do this quest. This is some of the only choice that exists in Fallout 4. Once Mel gets free, you meet back up at the dig site in Good Neighbor, and Bobby has an iBot named Sonya because it uses sonar to dig through tunnels using sound waves. Remember, Liberty Prime is at the end of this game. While doing this and fighting off Mirelurks and other mobs that are coming at you, Mel will continue to bring up that you're nowhere near Diamond City, and that's because you're not. Because again, dear listener, I, as your humble narrator, would like to let you know that Bobby No-Nos is a liar. I would like to point out that I get all my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. I love these games. I've played these games. I give them a hard time every now and again. I rib them a little bit, but I use the wiki just to double check up on certain things. When you get to the strong house, when you get to the strong room, you find out that Hancock isn't there, but one of his raider buddies, Fahrenheit, a person who is his personal bodyguard, is there to confront you. And this, again, a point where you get to choose something. You get to choose, would you rather betray Bobby or would you be on the side of Hancock and of Good Neighbor? And if so, this is how Hancock could become your partner. He could become your companion. Also, you get the Ashmaker legendary minigun out of doing this.
I'm pretty sure I killed her. I'm pretty sure in my main playthrough of Fallout 4, Roberta Bobby Negative Nostrils McGee
is dead. Pretty sure. I don't remember seeing her much. I also remember doing this quest just so I can get Hancock as my companion. Bobby, when you go to kill her, her health actually scales with the player. So it's absurdly high. Like if you go kill Kellogg or a Courser at level 200 because you did all the side quests and everything else and then meet them later on, it can be very difficult to kill her. It's also said during dialogue at some point, Mel, I will quote him directly, says, "I just hope this isn't like when we tried to break into that vault and it ended up being heavily irradiated. Chronic vomiting, not my favorite thing I learned." Like, where is that? Like, where was more of that? I want to see more of that. That's so interesting. Little behind the scenes from on the Fallout Wiki here. Originally, Bobby No-Nos' name was Jules, because some of the greeting dialogues is MS-16 Jules, three of which are spoken by Bobby and the remaining being one used by the player when telling Mel that Bobby sent them. There's also a piece of debug dialogue that says, "So after you've dug for a little bit, you've hit bedrock and the workers will tell you to ask Jules what to do next." Bobby No-Nos appears in Fallout 4. She's also in Fallout Shelter Online, the Chinese version of Fallout Shelter that always has really, really, really good art. I like Bobby No-Nos. I wish Bobby No-Nos had a little more to do in Fallout 4. Wish Fallout 4 had 18 more months of development. I hope you've enjoyed that, because that has been this week's lore. Hey, everybody. Welcome
to segment three, the third segment of today's program.
I feel like we're in a golden age of entertainment, but I have some qualms and some queries with that. I feel like a lot of stuff that's being made is just primo. Like, I feel like it's finally being directly marketed to an audience and not sitting in a boardroom. I'm reading the book that is inspiring Supergirl, the movie that's coming out in a few months, and it's really good. Apparently we're not supposed to like Tom King. I'm not really sure why, other than I think he might've worked for like the CIA at a point and now he's writing comic books. I don't know. I like this book. I'm excited for Supergirl. Today, the trailer for Clayface came out and I'm really into the DC Cinematic Universe or whatever it's called right now, DC Studios or what have you, because I don't like Marvel stuff. And this is a lot of fun for me to jump into the ideas of gods and monsters, like this phase of DC is. We're getting the Clayface movie. It's a body horror movie. We could be seeing Batman, like the next new Batman for the first time in a long time. Well, other than Pattinson, but I hope that's its own thing because I really like that. I hope they go with something campy and fun, like a mixture between like Silver Age Batman and Batman the Brave and the Bold cartoon, where he's serious and he's silly, and they're developing a movie that has to do with his son Damian that I'm really interested in seeing. Anyway, all that to be said, the new Lego Batman video game looks like it is about to be my game of the year for this year. And yes, I do know that GTA 6 is coming out this year. I don't care that GTA 6 is coming out this year. It is not written by the Hauser brothers. I don't care. The last game to be written by the Hauser brothers was Red Dead 2, and I loved Red Dead 2 after I hated Red Dead 2. But all of this to be said, look at all this positivity, look at all of this, how much of this is based in nostalgia? And I heard something recently, it was a quote on a podcast by the writer Alan Moore, and I'm going to surmise it, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it was more or less, what is nostalgia other than weaponized fascism? The root of nostalgia, if I remember correctly from the quote, is a sickness. It's a sickness of home. How much of your childhood being preyed upon going, remember this from your childhood? Remember this from your childhood? Remember this from your childhood? Is to keep you in the mindset of a child, to keep you complacent, to keep you complicit. How much of it is bad to hang on to? Now, I love Fallout. Fallout is a thing that I first played when I was 11 or 12 years old. I love Godzilla, a thing that I saw when I was 6. I love Batman, a thing that has been a part of my life for a very, very long time. How much of that is weaponized fascism? How much of that? And I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying let's play with this idea for a minute. How much of that is to keep me in the mindset of a child? I'm an adult, and I spend a lot of money on toys. I will not lie to you. I spend a lot of money on toys. I spend a lot of money on comic book, my own personal money. I work a job. I work a 40 plus hour week, and I make my own money, and I could spend my own money how I want to spend my own money. But how much of it is keeping me locked behind essentially a paywall? How much of it is not allowing me to move forward? I heard Alan Moore say that, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. Well, I heard a quote of him saying it somewhere else on a podcast, and it stopped me. And I really sat there and thought to myself, how much of this is to keep me down? I used to be very much into sneakers. Not so much anymore. I kind of got priced out of it. There's no reason why a pair of fucking sneakers needs to be $190 for a base entry pair of shoes. No reason. I don't need to spend that much money. I spent that much money on a pair of sneakers once, and that was the last pair of sneakers I bought that I pretty much like retired from collecting sneakers at that point. And I've worn them twice. The point I'm getting at, though, the sneaker market is dictated by old shoes. And I don't mean shoes that came out 15 years ago. I mean shoes that came out in 1985 to like 1999 to 2001, and they just keep remaking them. Because it reminds you of something. It keeps you in the mindset of the old. And as time goes on, we forget things. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can sit there and be a fan of Michael Jordan. You could talk about Michael Jordan. You could understand Michael Jordan. But if you weren't around to see him play, you really don't know nothing about him. You don't understand why he was so big. Same thing with musicians. You could understand Michael Jackson. You could understand his music. You could understand the trials and tribulations he went through. But if you weren't around when he was around, I don't think you're going to get it. I don't get it. Because I've had people that grew up in that era explain to me what Michael Jackson meant to them of that era. You know, people would faint when they would see Michael Jackson. That is the closest you're going to get to being a deity on this planet that you can get. So I ask again, how much of your nostalgia is weaponized fascism? How much of it is it so you sit back and go, I sure did love this thing when I was 9. That was such a peaceful time. Let's remember what that was like. And then that is used against you. Not to get negative, but it's something that it's been really, really weighing heavy on my brain since I heard it this Monday. Just some things to think about. I hope you guys have been well. My name has been Vince. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 360-something. The one with all of the technical difficulties. The stream has gone down. This recording has gone down like 4 times. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. Go ahead and check him out. Link in the description below. Intro song is called Feather Duster. Shout out to the Patreon, link in the description below. Shout out to the Redbubble. Shout out to the Discord. Join the Discord. I love you very much. Hopefully I'll be seeing you soon. I want to get this back to be a weekly thing. I love you very much. I'll be seeing you soon. Be well to one another. I'll see you in the next one. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.